Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. The Flatline, that's the name of this show, F-L-O-T, Flatline. And I'm your host, Rick Hughes. Please stay with me for a few moments of motivation, some inspiration, some education. And it'll be done with no manipulation because we do not sell anything. We're not trying to have you join anything. This is not an infomercial. This is 30 minutes of accurate information designed to verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you can orient and adjust to the plan, that's your privacy, your freedom. You can go for it. But I can assure you one thing. You have the potential to live the most phenomenal life the world has ever known. And you also have the potential to live the most weird life, the most screwed up life the world has ever known. It all boils down to our decisions. It all boils down to what we think. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the Flatline is about giving you accurate information that will help you understand how God's plan functions in your life. That plan always starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said, I am the door. Through me, man enters in. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm constantly amazed at the many people I talk to who think they're going to heaven because they're good people, because they don't treat their fellow man wrong, because they belong to a particular denomination, and or because they have been through some ritual that denomination requires, when the Bible clearly says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should brag about it. Even when Nicodemus came to see our Lord Jesus Christ at night in John chapter 3, Jesus told him he had to be born again. And we don't see him joining anything. We don't see him doing any ritual, but we see him becoming a believer and even showing up after the crucifixion of our Lord to retrieve his body and to place it in the tomb along with another man whose tomb they used. In John 19, these two are called secret disciples. Becoming a Christian doesn't have to be a public event. You can accept Jesus Christ where you sit. You can do it in your car. You can do it in your home. You can do it in your bedroom. I have known people that accepted Christ in the bathtub. It doesn't make any difference where you are. The difference is what you believe. The Bible says, he that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. John chapter 5, verse 1. He that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The issue is, what am I believing? Well, I am believing that he's the anointed Son of God. I am believing that he took my place on the cross. I might not understand all the ramifications of it, but I can understand this. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. And I know I'm not going to heaven on my own. And I know that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for me, took my place, paid my penalty, and I am willing to accept him. And you do that simply by faith. The way I did it was simply to pray. The Bible does say, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I simply prayed, and I told God I wanted to be saved. I just admitted I was a sinner and I wanted to accept Christ as my Savior. And I didn't feel funny or weird, but it certainly happened. Without a doubt, it happened. And when I left that building that night, I was a born-again Christian. I didn't understand everything that happened to me. It took me a couple of years to figure out what the plan of God required out of me. I operated on pure emotion for a long time. And I was driven by emotion for a long time until I learned that the Christian life doesn't function on emotion. It's good. It's wonderful. I mean, it's an appreciator of the soul. But the Christian life functions on what you think. And that's why the Bible tells us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible tells us, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Actually, 1, 2, and 3 deal with what we think quite a bit. The two ways we can think, one is humility, the other is arrogance. And if you go to understanding the Old Testament, you'll know that Satan, his fall, his sin, was arrogance, thinking that he was equal to God, and convincing one-third of the host of angels in heaven that he was equal to God. That's not humility, that's arrogance. Humility is teachability. Humility is orientation to authority. Arrogance is not. Arrogance is one of the least preached upon sins in the Bible. When's the last time you heard any preacher talk about someone being arrogant? You just don't hear it. And yet it is arrogance that allows us to justify why we do some of the things we do, even though we may know in our heart they are wrong. It is arrogance that gives us self-justification and self-deception into thinking we're okay when we do it, and eventually into self-absorption. An arrogant person is not teachable. They can't learn anything. Just last week, I sat with a person across the table and tried to explain the mechanics of God, and this person, a wonderful person, but in their own opinion, they wanted to learn it for themselves. They didn't need someone else to teach them. They could figure it out on their own, and that's arrogance. If you could figure it out on your own, there would be no need for a pastor teacher. There would be no need for the spiritual gift of pastor teacher in Ephesians 4. Why would God even establish a local church and pastors if He wanted you just to figure it out on your own? Now, you don't always have to be face-to-face with a pastor. Much of the growing that I've done is not face-to-face, but actually listening to reel-to-reel tapes, or listening to MP3s, or listening to and watching DVDs of qualified pastors teach me. Because I was not in their community, I was not face-to-face with them. And you can do that today. A lot of great pastors even have streaming online video. And when they're teaching, you can actually watch on the computer their Bible classes. I'm not sure I always think that's a great idea, because people have more of a tendency to stay home and watch than go to the local church. But it's out there. It's available. So you don't always have to be sitting in the congregation. And the way my schedule was and caused me to travel quite a bit, I had to do most of my studying, and still do, in hotel rooms or wherever I found myself, listening to the instruction that I needed from a well-qualified pastor on a recording device, because I wasn't face-to-face in a local church. Now, you can get that way. As you learn, as you grow, as you discipline yourself to study, you demonstrate humility. Remember, it was the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ that allowed Him to go to the cross. Remember that? Hebrews 12:2, He took upon Himself the shame of the cross. He became a man. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, He humbled Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. We are talking about the Son of God. We are talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who allowed people to assault Him, who allowed people to malign Him, who allowed people to murder Him. And yet He was like a sheep going to the slaughter. He never opened His mouth. This means He didn't complain. He didn't whine. He didn't gripe. He did not think He was getting a raw deal. That's what arrogance does. You know that. Arrogance cannot handle unfair testing. You put an arrogant person in an unfair situation, and they're going to whine. They're going to whine if they work and say someone's getting more money and they're working less. They're going to whine if it's in a marriage. They're going to whine if it's in a school. This means they're going to complain and gripe and carry on and make a scene because they feel like their rights are being violated. If you ever played athletics, if you ever served in the military, one thing you learn is don't whine, don't gripe, don't complain. Just keep your mouth shut and do your job. And that's humility. And some of the most genuine humility you'll find in the lives of military soldiers, career officers, men who understand authority structure. And in spite of the way the orders may come down, which could even cost a man his life in combat, he follows orders to the T. Our God is our supreme commander. The orders he gives us are found in the Bible. We are to follow orders. Those mandates that are in the Bible are clear. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mandates, mandates, mandates. And yet people do not see the need to grow up. They do not recognize that there are baby Christians that stay baby Christians all their life because they never learn the Word of God. And that's why our Lord made it clear in Luke 11 that all happiness belongs to people who hear my Father's Word and who keep it. The application of the Word of God into your soul, after you've heard the instruction of the Word of God publicly, whether it's face-to-face or non-face-to-face, that's what spiritual growth is all about. You've got to hear it if you're going to grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why you're listening today. You recognize someone's teaching you something. You recognize there's no gimmicks and there are no gains, but I'm not a pastor. I'm just a voice. And your job is to get under the authority of that well-qualified pastor. There are some words I want you to understand, some key words, some dictionary terms here, things I want you to know. Grace, that's the key word. Grace. Grace is the provision of God's divine power. That's what it is. It is the ultimate giving of that power and time to us. And that is Jesus Christ our Lord. It is grace. For by grace are you saved. Grace, pronounced in the Bible, charis, in the Greek New Testament, transliterated and spelled charis. Grace means we didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. You know, the Bible says in that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in thy name, and in thy name did I not cast out demons, and in thy name did I not do many wonderful works? And he said, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, organized religion attempts to establish a relationship with God by means of works, by means of observing some ritual, by means of doing prayers, or by means of carrying out some mandates that the church council has decided that you must do if you're ever going to be a Christian. That's not grace, that's legalism. If anyone judges you because you do something in your personal life that they don't agree with, that's judging. That's not grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace offers privacy. You haven't seen an angel come down and beat you over the head and stand in front of you with a flaming sword and tell you you must be saved. God's grace is always giving you privacy. You have the information, you have the know-how, and God gives you the privacy. And it's true as far as you advancing in the spiritual life as well. God is not beating you over the head. There's no pastor out there with a Bible thumping you in the face. But you listen to what I'm telling you and you hear it. And you know you are responsible to grow up and to become a well-qualified believer, so that your God can use you to replicate the life of Jesus Christ, so that others who see you will see Christ in you. So we're saved by grace. We live by grace. That means we treat others graciously, just as God treated us, forgiving one another, being kind to one another, being tender-hearted, being generous. And we have surpassing grace in heaven. Because when you get there, you're going to be amazed at the things God has for you. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. The Bible says the old things will be passed away, and all things will become new. The eye hath never seen, the ear hath never heard, and the heart hath never felt the wonderful things God has prepared for you. Grace is a wonderful word. Grace is your ticket to eternal life, because someone else purchased the ticket for you. Someone else paid the price for you. It didn't cost you anything. It's a free gift, the gift of grace. And that's what salvation is. It's a free gift, a gift of grace. Another word I want to hopefully equate you to identify you with is a word called cognition. Cognition. Cognition, any problem-solving device that we teach on the Flatline, and there are 10 unique problem-solving devices. You should know them. If you don't, you can always order the book, Christian Problem Solving. We'll send it right on over, no charge. And you can learn these and use them in your life. But problem-solving devices require cognition. Cognition is awareness. You have to be aware of where you are, who you are. For example, did you know that you live in the church age? Did you know you live in the dispensation of the church? You're not living in the Old Testament, and you're not living in the tribulation, and you're not living in the millennium. You are living in the time of the mystery of the church. No one ever saw this before, and yet Paul called it the mystery doctrine of the church, and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery is no one ever knew that we would all become one living, organic body, the body of Christ. We are in that body. He is in us, and we are in Him. And this is the same Shekinah glory in the Old Testament that scared people when they saw it. And yet the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ now lives in you. You have to have a cognition of that, understanding of that, awareness that you are a believer, that you have the Holy Spirit living in you, that you have the Word of God available to you, the two dynamic resources that assist you in living this wonderful life called the Christian life, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. This is what our Lord used. He used the Holy Spirit to sustain His humanity, and He used His Father's Word. You can see in Matthew 4, when He was tempted, how He quoted Scripture. He used His Father's Word to sustain Himself in the face of adversity and temptation. That's available to you. You have those two resources. You have the filling of the Holy Spirit, and you have the dynamics of the Word of God, if you learn it, if you use it. So cognition means to know who you are. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're in the church. You're a member of the royal family of God. You have a royal family honor code that you live under. And you know what's coming down the pipe. You know the next thing in time that you're looking forward to is the rapture of the church. When our Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and takes you back up to heaven with Him, where we have the judgment seat of Christ and the distribution of escrow blessings in eternity, and then you return with Him at the end of the tribulation to establish His millennial reign at His second advent. These are the things you look forward to. These are dispensational truths that you have to learn because they motivate you. You have cognition of these things. Another word I want to give you is priority. Priority. What is number one priority in your life? It should be, number one priority should be this. If you're a Christian, you have a physical life and you have a spiritual life. And your number one priority in the spiritual life is the Word of God. To make sure that you learn God's Word consistently. Because as goes your soul, so goes your body. The soul is the seat of the body. And in your soul is your mind. And as goes the thinking in your mind, so goes the doing in your body. And that's what the Word of God does. It stabilizes your thinking. It gives you stability in life because of grace orientation and cognition of where you are and the priority you've set in your life, where you have said, I'm not going to let anything distract me from growing spiritually. And there are a lot of distractions. One of the first is a busy life. Oh, Satan will give you plenty to do so that you cannot find time to study. So many people I talk to tell me, I don't have time to study. I don't have time to sit under the teaching of the Word of God. Oh, I'll make time on Sunday morning, but that's not enough. How are you going to grow eating one meal a week? You can't. And then that's just a little 30-minute snack sometimes. No, you can't grow like that. The priority has to be taking in the Word of God on a daily basis. You know, Satan can throw all kind of distractions at you, and I'll tell you what else he'll throw at you. He'll throw you a curveball, and he'll throw you something called, oh, we can go on this retreat, and we can meet God on this retreat. And you will go off to meet God, and it will be an emotional appeal to you. And your emotions will be stimulated, and you'll feel so close to God. And then you'll come back, and about 2 weeks later, you'll be right back where you started. You don't advance. You took a little emotional hiatus. Listen, emotions, again, are wonderful. But that's not what drives your Christian life. What drives your Christian life is your volition. And your volition must say, there's no other way around it, your volition must say, I want to glorify God. No tricks to get you emotionally fired up. No gimmicks to make you feel better about yourself. Do you or do you not want to glorify God? If you do, then you must grow up. That's why the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 5, I've got a lot of things to say, but you can't handle it. You're like a baby that needs a bottle. You can't have a strong piece of steak or meat. You choke on it, the writer says. And a lot of Christians are like that. They need the bottle. They can't handle the meat. The meat is the advanced doctrines of the Word of God that you must learn so that you can glorify God, so that you can become a witness in the angelic conflict. Because sooner or later, God's going to call you to the witness stand. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ went to the witness stand in Matthew 4, you're going to go, and Satan's going to cross-examine you. Our Lord told Peter, you're going to get cross-examined tonight. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will be cross-examined, and you'll fail. And Peter, not me. No, Lord, I'm not going to fail. And he did. He did. Why? His emotions took over. Fear kicked in. And he feared for his life. And he denied the Lord. Was he still a Christian? Yes. Obviously so. He wrote part of the Bible. Did he fail? Yes. You and I fail, don't we? And we can recover the same way Peter recovered. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So, grace, cognition, priority, volition. Volition is a key word. This is you taking responsibility for your decisions. You are not a victim of your circumstances. You can't say the reason I'm a jerk is because my parents were jerks and thus I'm a jerk. No, 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 that's an excuse. You're a jerk because you want to be a jerk. That's why. You can't say, well, the reason things went bad for me is I didn't have a father and I grew up in a broken home in a bad community. Listen, there, I can give you story after story of people that grew up in much worse circumstances than you, and they turned out to be wonderful, fine, great people. You chose what you wanted to do. You are a victim of your decisions. Yeah, you had influences. Everybody has influences. But you chose Don't blame it on someone else. You chose. So God gave you freedom to choose. Freedom to choose Christ. Freedom to reject Christ. Freedom to choose His Word. Freedom to reject His Word. That's your volition. And God has given you power. Divine power, not human power. Divine power, the power of prayer, the power of the Word of God. You ever heard it? The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than even a two-edged sword. The Word of God is powerful. It can resolve issues. It can calm your fears. It can give you confidence. Prayer is powerful. You can intercede for me, for you, for your family. It's like long-range artillery in war. You can stand behind the lines and bombard the enemy with your prayer. And then the last word is focus. You must keep your destiny in mind. You must keep moving. Yes, you'll fail. Yes, you'll mess up. Yes, you'll make mistakes. But you got to keep moving. Remember, from the day you accept Christ until the day that God takes you home, it's a journey. It's you growing, you advancing, it's you going up the ladder to spiritual maturity, and all along the way, Satan will be lobbing those fiery darts at you. Your old sin nature will be tempting you. The world will be dragging you, trying to pull you back. Don't go, they'll say. But as you leave others behind, as you have the courage to walk alone, as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Savior, you reach the high ground of spiritual maturity. And you plant the colors of God's grace where the colors never flew. There you are on top of the mountain of spiritual maturity, wearing the colors of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone else fell back, but you went alone. And now you move down into the valley of testing. Here's where the evidence testing comes in. Here's where Satan now is going to say, all right, let me have a shot at him, God. And you're going to get cross-examined. But as you come out the other side, you begin to accelerate in your growth. And you replicate the life of Jesus Christ. That's what you were called to do. I hope this is making sense. I pray often, what can I say, what can I do to give a challenge that will appeal to those who listen? I'm your host, Rick Hughes. I hope you'll join me next week, same time, same place. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.